His playing is marvelous. What other players can do well, he does 100 times better. We never heard such playing before, nor had we imagined it possible. His bow perfectly talks. It remonstrates. It supplicates. It answers. It holds a dialogue. In a word, we never heard anything like any part of his performance, much less the least marvel we have been speaking of. The people sit astonished, venting themselves in whispers of wonderful, good God, and other unusual symptoms of English amazement. And when the applause comes, some of them take the opportunity of actually laughing out loud because of the pure inability to express their feelings otherwise. Let's listen to one more caprice and bring this lecture to a conclusion with it. This is caprice number 5 in A minor. It is a study in legato and staccato. What that means is at the beginning of the piece, we will hear all the notes smoothly connected to each other. And then in the middle of the piece, they will not be connected. The bow has to go back and forth for each new note. And so each note will be separated from each other, not connected to each other. I want us to be especially aware of the very high notes, the E string, supposedly made from the entrails of his dead mistress. Oh, that's a good story by any telling. Caprice number 5 in A minor, Niccolo Paganini, 1820. I will anticipate a question many of you might be thinking, and that is, well, if these pieces are so impossible, if Paganini was the only person in the world that could play them, how could we possibly be listening to a recording? Because obviously Paganini did not live at a time when it could be recorded. My friends, this is the marvelous thing about musicians, about anyone in any field. Look, no one was going to run the 4-minute mile, right? And then someone ran a 4-minute mile, and now really good college runners all run under 4-minute miles. And so it is with virtuosity. What is impossible to one generation becomes the staple of the next, because we build both a performance tradition and a practice tradition. The problems are solved, we learn how to do them, and then we just learn how to do those things at a younger and younger age. Indeed, things that would have seemed impossible 100 years ago are now staples for most really good music students, and so it goes. So nothing is impossible, but at the time these pieces were written, at the time they were conceived, and it's conception even more than execution that makes these so complex, Paganini was indeed the only person who could have played them. My last comment as we bring this lecture to a conclusion is this. In April of 1832, Paganini gives his second Paris concert. A young Hungarian pianist is in the audience. Franz Liszt's life is about to change. When we come back, Liszt's reaction to Paganini, and Liszt's own development of the piano based on Paganini's model. Thank you.